as I said to you earlier before, the last few weeks and few days, it has been raining constantly. I don't know about you, but I think since the winter time, I did not have the opportunity or the chance to go into my garden to clean up the mess. Anybody had an experience as well? So yesterday was a lovely day, so I told my wife, I tell you what, we'll get a lawnmower out and do some tidying up. My goodness me, the grass was this high. The matter of fact, we broke a lawnmower. That's how bad it was. But I was so determined that I will go and get another one because I must get this garden done today. And we did it and we achieved it. And now we can look back at it and say, wow, what a beautiful work I have just done. Mind you, I must say my wife did help as well. She did flowering and all kind of stuff, you know. No, we men are good with flowers. So I look back at it and I said, wow, what a beautiful garden we now have. Now, there's so much we can learn from Paul's example in the book of Acts, the reading you just heard. At the end of the day, what does the book of Acts teach us about Paul and the growth in the early church? The book of Acts records the work of the Holy Spirit spread the gospel message throughout the world. The news of Christ's resurrection and ascension spread like wildfire, and several key churches were planted during this period. Now, the apostles and the other followers of Christ boldly proclaimed the gospel, and their words were empowered by the Holy Spirit. Paul's vision for the ministry was very clear, very, very clear. Paul had a high view of the God we serve, this suffering God that we serve. But he also worked hard and understood that we have a great responsibility to carry out the plans and the purpose of our Lord. Sometimes there seems to be what we call a misconception that if we hold to a higher view of the suffering of God, then we don't have to do much work. Paul did not work alone. He did not work alone. He understood that he needed a team. Now, we must work together, I must say, we must work together to carry out the vision and the mission God has called us to do. Let me repeat that again. We must be able to work together and to carry out the vision and the mission God has called us, each one of us, to do. So when I said to you early today, not long ago, find somebody you haven't seen before, say hi to them, have a conversation with them, that is part of the mission God has called you to do. Can somebody shout amen? Coming to church is one thing. Enjoying the singing, listening to the preacher, but what is your main mission? What is your calling? We are in the second week of getting our acts together during this Easter time. For the first 2 weeks after Easter, our readings in Acts depends on the story of this crippled man healed at this beautiful gate. It's a story full of amazement, astonishment, and wonder. And yet, amazing as it is, the healing isn't what is important here. I just come to remind you here this morning, folks, just a gentle reminder, that the Lord we are serving here today and for the rest of our lives is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. We need to know something about this sitting for the sermon which Peter preached about our Lord Jesus Christ. Fellow Israelites, and referring to God in the way he did, Peter was attempting to speak from the Jews' point of view. He also made an important point about our risen Savior, our Lord and Jesus Christ. This man whom they ignorantly crucified was immensely associated with God and the Father of the nation in an important way. Peter knows it's time to preach his sermon. He knew that. We are saved to have experienced a miracle in all our lives. Every one of us have experienced the miracle that God has done for you this far. Every one of us, no matter how small or large it has been, or it is. For us to be here this morning, all of us, we have been born again through our Lord Jesus Christ. We were at one time lost, but now on our way to a better place. That's our expectation. You know, sometimes when kids misbehave, anybody know that kids have misbehaved? Mm-hmm. We forget one thing, especially when they become teenagers. You see, when they're little and tiny, we love them to bits. When they get into teenager stage, it's a different matter. Anybody have teenager kids? Or you had teenager kids? You know what I'm talking about? It's a different ballgame. But we forget one thing. We were once a teenager. Isn't it? We weren't born perfect. But we have to go through that life of experience to be where we are today. Someone said to me, oh my gosh, Sean, look how many gray hair you have on your head. I said, yeah, it's years of wisdom. Is that true? Somebody told me that. Years of experience, years of wisdom. Folks, all of us, we have repented our sins. We have turned our lives around, pending what we have experienced in the past and how far God has brought us today. We trusted in God, and it changes our destination from a time of destruction to a time for perfection. That's what we have done. We have passed from death to life. That, folks, is a fantastic miracle. Fantastic miracle. Has Peter and John entered the temple area for prayer for one day, they met this man, this disabled man, begging at this beautiful gate. Only insist of giving him money, which I believe maybe he didn't have any. But Peter offered him something much better. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He takes the man's hand and raises him up from where he was sitting. In the present case, whilst the man's healing certainly marks an attention-grabbing manifestation of a supernatural power, Peter insists that such attention be properly directed, meaning not towards him and John. However, the beggar's faith was expressed only after the miracle occurred. His healing was by grace, a totally unforgiven gift, given to this man apart from his expressing any faith beforehand. If anything, it was Peter's faith that makes the healing possible. I believe it was Peter's faith that made that man's healing possible. I don't think some of us believe that we can make a big difference in someone's life. Just the way we behave, the way we act, the way we talk to people. Would you agree with that, folks?
Yeah.
The songwriter said, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. It's coming to a time of refreshing. The power of love has never been demonstrated like this ever before. God's love for humanity has now been revealed. Peter associates the forgiveness of sins with the time of refreshing to come. This is a unique phrase in the New Testament. It has been generally been through to refer to Jesus' return as a time of general salvation. Jesus must remain in heaven until that time. That is, the time comes for God to restore everything within us. Everything within us. We are not quite home and dry yet on this resurrection business. We're not there yet. At one point, Jesus saying, don't hold on to me, I'm not yet ascended to my Father. It's not enough that the tomb is empty. It's not enough to proclaim that Christ is risen. It's not enough to believe in the resurrection. At some point, we have to move from the event of the resurrection to experience the resurrection. I don't think you get it. Let me say it again. We have to move from the event of the resurrection to experience the resurrection. Experience the resurrection life begins with recognizing the risen Christ among us. That is the gift of Easter. And that is also the difficulty and the challenge described in the gospel reading we heard not long ago. Today we look at how Luke described what happened on that day when Jesus rose from the dead and how it helped us to understand what it means to be a Christian. What we as Christians are supposed to do. Luke spent the entire chapter in the Gospel accounting, describing what happened on the third day. It is also good for us to see how Jesus' disciples were struggling to come to terms with what had just happened. But Luke, the Gospel writer, wants to lead us in the way of faith and life towards the kingdom of God. Could it be more urgent for us? Jesus the Christ showed up. Jesus the Christ ushered his disciple and ushered us one more time from fear and doubt towards confidence, perception, and faith. And wondering confusion in the room. The emotion of turmoil when Jesus walked in. Folks, I'm just here this morning to say to you, resurrection brings hope. resurrection brings hope. It's all over Scripture. Sorrow may last for a moment, but joy comes in the morning. All things work together for good. The Bible also said, "For I know the plans I have for you, say God. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you." Jesus knew what he was doing when he walked into that room. The guys knew what they were doing when they saw the beggar. But God has a plan. Sometimes we don't always understand God's plan. Did you know that God worked in mysterious ways? God works in a way it surprises sometimes. It really does. But there will come a time, or will be times, when we are facing disappointment, grief, or sorrow, when we need space to feel sadness, loss, and anger. And it's true, as Christians, our hope is in God through Christ. So yes, there's always hope when things are not going the way you want. Have you heard the phrase, "There's always light at the end of the tunnel"? For me, there's always hope in Christ at the end of that tunnel. God will see us through a transition. He will see us through a transition. But if you believe and you have that grace and hope, trust me, he will see you through. He will see you through. Folks, there are times when instead of saying something like, "It will be okay," or quoting one of the scriptures I just mentioned, when we are willing to sit with someone just to have a talk with them when they are going through their pain and their discomfort. We see people in church every Sunday, Sunday in, Sunday out, year after year. But we don't know their circumstances. We don't know it. You ask somebody, "How are you?" The first thing that pops out of their mouth, "I'm fine." Are you really? Are we really fine? How much time do we take to spend time with somebody to find out, what do they need? What can I do? What can I offer? That's what the Christian is all about. My brothers and sisters, how is your back garden? How is your weeds? Is your garden beautiful each and every passing week? Can people see you as a beautiful garden? Can they see you to someone you can come to and talk to? Yes, we may have good new flowers and garden blooming everywhere, but what does it mean that we need to get each other, find each other, give each other space to talk? It means being patient with one another, dropping some expectation, adapting a new attitude, grace and wonder. What Jesus is saying to us, "I am back. I am alive. I have broken through. I have made a bridge between this life and the next." The barrier is broken. The heavy stone is no longer there. The huge curtain in the temple of Jerusalem has torn apart. The curtain that was inches thick that has separated us from that holy place of God has now been torn apart. No matter where we are, folks, or what we are dealing with, or the troubles of this world, May we live with grace and comfort and conviction, with integrity and justice, with worship and word that witness to God who gave us life and light, who raised Jesus from the dead, who rules and reigns forever, who will never let us go. We as modern disciples are an extension of Jesus' ministry. We are witnesses to the same real relationship that Jesus had with his disciples. Folks, we have the powers in our hands. We can touch someone with the Holy Spirit that God has blessed us with. That is why we can sing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen.
Amen.